Be among the first to experience Ardent Community's newest luxury apartments in Galloway, Ohio, the Pinnacle and the Reserve at Parkside Village. Enjoy spacious modern floor plans designed for comfort, style, and convenience. Amenities built around your lifestyle, beautiful finishes, thoughtful community spaces, and the perfect location. Move in now and live rent-free for 2 full months. Start fresh in a place that truly feels like home. The Pinnacle and the Reserve at Parkside Village. Call or visit ardentcommunities.com to schedule a tour or check out our rent specials.
Get on to Prenderville.
Text or WhatsApp Neil now. 0868-104-106.
The Neil Prenderville Show on Red FM.
Delighted to say, Imelda May, it even rhymes, back on Lee's side again, ahead of a lot of things, including the marquee gig. But yes, you are aware that this coming Friday, we're making noise for Focus Ireland. It's a bit of a kind of a radio station takeover on Friday.
Wonderful.
And there's been huge response to it.
Wonderful.
You're an ambassador, though, for Focus Ireland for quite some time. Is that right?
No, not an official ambassador, but I do whatever I can to help.
Why?
Of course, and with time and community.
Yeah.
Why? Because we're all like a fraction away from being homeless at any given point. We're closer to being homeless than billionaires, aren't we, really?
Yeah,
you're about, what do they say, one paycheck away.
Yeah.
So I think it happens to anybody at any point.
Yeah.
It depends. And also depends on how you know what's happened to you in your life and how you've been able to cope with it and what support you've had and what trauma you might have had, you know. It's nobody's choice. And I think and this whole talk of housing crisis and nonsense, it's more there's, when you look around, there's plenty of houses.
It's true, isn't it? There's not a housing shortage as such.
No, there's not.
Yeah.
No, there's not. Yeah. It's a price crisis.
Yeah.
Everybody wanting too much money to let somebody live in it.
Yeah, because the stats are sad because, you know, we've been dealing with a lot of statistics and each one of those statistics is a life and, a person or a family. Like 19,000, they're putting the figure at now homeless, of which 5,000 are children. It's a lot higher than that, though.
Yeah.
Because not everybody is actually counted in that.
No. You know? And it's ridiculous. And the amount of people that are stuck in homes they don't want to be in, that they can't leave because of afraid of what they might end up with, you know, that it's a mess that needs to be addressed.
Is it kind of, is it close to your heart? Because you don't mind me saying, you were born, say, for instance, the early 70s, Liberty's area of inner city Dublin. What was that like?
Well, I don't remember the 70s, but the 80s I remember. That was very tough. You know, it was a massive drug problem because of massive unemployment. Because Guinness's became computerised overnight. So whole families were put
were
out of work.
Out.
Yeah. Yeah. Generations of the whole family was out of work. And everybody in the area looking for the same jobs, which didn't exist.
Yeah.
So it was a total mess. So the community got together, but the suicide rate went through the roof. Drugs went through the roof. It was the queues so down the road.
That was as a consequence of a sense of hopelessness.
Yeah. Well, it's a sense of getting replaced by technology, and we're looking at more of that in the future. So things need to be looked at, because that's not going to stop.
But you have to wonder, are lessons ever learned, though? Because it's only getting worse. You know, because, and a lot of the time it's the likes of organisations like Focus are there to do the heavy lifting.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, it's all just to make money. It's nothing to do with advancing anything. As we all know, you can ring any company if you can get it through on a phone number. And there used to be people that would answer the phones, or you can't even get that anymore.
Yeah.
And it's nothing to do with making services better. It's to do with saving somebody money. You turn up to the airport to check in your suitcase.
Yeah.
You're doing self-service checkout, and then you look and there's three people helping you, everybody, to check your own case in, when those three people could be actually doing it and doing it much better, but they just don't want to pay them as much.
Is it a case then that the world is becoming a lot more impersonal and cold?
It's just the people who are the billionaires want to make more money at the expense of everyone else.
Does that motivate you then in what you write and what you sing?
Everything motivates me in what
you
write
see
and
what
I
see. What you experience.
Connection is what motivates me. Because that's the only way that we can stay human. It's the only way that we can survive all of this. You know, especially with AI coming in with music, and that's like the death. You know, you don't even realise that what you're looking at on Instagram, and you see these accounts of please follow me and help me with my new career. It's AI. doesn't, that person doesn't exist. There's now so many bands with millions of followers and they're doing all these, if you see this now, then it was meant to come to you, please click. It's total fake and it looks so real. People have no idea
how many... Is that a
challenge
then for musicians?
Of course it is. Of course it is.
Forward.
Which means live music is more important than ever.
Yeah.
More important than ever.
Yeah.
Because that's where it's at. And that's why I think for this gig that I've had and this show that I've toured, I've called it the Raised on Songs and Stories Tour. And I wanted to strip away the show. I wanted to strip away the me showing off, presenting something to you. I wanted it to be us and a kind of a wider version of my... I wanted to bring everyone into my sitting room and I couldn't. So I thought, I'm going to bring my sitting room to everyone because there's value in just hanging out together and singing together and talking together and laughing. And I highly encourage people shouting up whatever they want. And we have a laugh, we have a joke, but people are... I'm getting so many messages from people saying it's one of the best gigs
because
that they've
talented.
Been to in
you're,
a while.
You're just incredibly talented.
Well,
because it's hard to even put you into any particular genre. I was thinking about it this morning. I wrote down rockabilly, jazz, folk, soul, pop.
Mm.
That could be all together or in quick succession. You're hard to kind of define musically because you don't want to be defined musically.
No, what's the use in boxes? For God's sake, why would you fence yourself in if you don't have to? I love freedom. I love freedom of expression. I love freedom as a creative, as a human. But I really think all same as my poetry.
Yeah,
or
so
anything.
I love that about you. I love the aspects of poetry that you weren't afraid to delve into and to share and to write. I loved how you said, okay, I'm going to embrace the Irish language and give it socks. That's all fantastic.
Yeah, what's there to be afraid of? We live, we
well, a lot
add
of
something to the world.
Though.
Of course I'm self-conscious. Well, I'm not saying I'm not self-conscious. Of course I am, but the only way to do anything is push through that. Even with the, you know, or especially with the Irish language, I think part of the way that, you know, the colonists were able to get rid of our language was to make us feel like we were inadequate, make us feel like we were backwards if we didn't speak English, make us feel like we were left behind, we were savage. It's all mental, you know, the way they got into our heads. And and they did that with them. It kind of still happens now. It was looked at, I remember Moya, poor El Moya Brennan, who we've just lost recently, she said when they start singing folk music, they were looked down upon because they were speaking in Irish. Why would you speak that? It's backwards. And what an awful and powerful way to get rid of our language, to make you feel backwards for speaking your own language. And that was all psychologically thought through of
you're
how
so,
to do
you're
it.
You're 100% right. I was even just thinking about that during the week. We had the 1926 census. So it was almost like, I don't know, would you agree? It was like our growing up, all right? It was our first census. We were the free state.
Mm.
We were running things for ourselves. I felt incredibly proud of that, you know, 100 years ago, that opportunity to fly solo.
Mm.
You know, and again, you know, it was an Irish country. They were Irishians. They spoke the language.
Yeah.
Of course, that changed over the years. But I can't help but look back at them fondly and say, you know, well done. I hope we haven't let you down. Do you know what I mean?
People were speaking Irish right into the late 1800s and 1900s in Ireland, including the English people who were taking over the place, had to learn Irish in order to communicate.
Yeah.
And they forget to tell you that bit. Yeah. They actually learned Irish in order to communicate. So, of course, I speak awful Irish, broken Irish, but I'm going to speak what I know and I'm going to try and learn a new word each day. And my new thing is trying to say the words... Okay, where am I going today? Cork. Corky. What does Corky mean? Marsh.
Correct.
There I am. That's a new piece for me today.
Well done. Yeah.
And that's what I'm trying to do, tiny bits day by day. I mean, if I had the time, I'd sit down and I'd get lessons twice a week, which I'll eventually get around to doing. But at this moment in time, I'm learning duchus. That's a feeling that we have that we belong from the earth. You can't really translate it into, and those little, I'm saying I'm going to my labba, I'm saying I'm having a cup on tay, you know, and use the bits
Dead
that
right.
you have. And
Imelda May, a proud Irishian.
Don't be afraid of making mistakes. What's the worst that can happen? You get embarrassed. You move past it.
No, I love that aspect of you. And I also love the aspect of how, you know, album after album after album, getting bigger, getting stronger, getting more popular. The collabs around the world are mind-blowing, incidentally. Mm. I mean, what's that like, collaborating? You know, I mean, and why wouldn't you? As an independent artist, you're well capable. But do you sometimes think, wow, this is an incredible life?
Oh, God, yeah. To be able to do, my dream was just to be able to be an artist and to be able to create. That's all I ever wanted to do, was to be able to do that. And I think that's all anyone wants to do, is to, you know, do what they love. And that's a huge blessing if you can do that. And a lot of people struggle with that and can't. And I was working other jobs to try and make it, to be pay me bills. And I,
what did you do?
Oh, everything.
Really?
Everything. I worked in nursing home for about 2.5 years in 24-hour care, taking care of people as they died and after they died, looking after them. And I got to meet some amazing people and hear great life stories and care for them very much as they passed. And it was a huge lesson in life. And maybe that really stuck on me more about living
it. I would think it probably would, about living the moment.
And I listened to people's regrets as they passed. They tell you things about their life as you were holding them, you know. So
Imelda, that's amazing.
Taught me a lot. And it was my absolute honour to be able to be that person to comfort somebody, especially those that were alone. Nobody should die alone. So you'd stay with them.
I didn't know that aspect of your life. I think you're giving comfort to people still in many different ways now with your music and your positivity and your confidence.
I don't have confidence.
You have a plan.
No, I'm self-conscious the same as anybody else, and I pick at myself the same as anyone else, but I do have a... I just want to connect with people. I think that is something that has dawned on me over the years, that it's not my job to show off. It's my job to be as good as I possibly can be and to learn and to get better. You know, a lot of the songs now, if I could rewrite them, I would. I look back at some of my songs and think, dear God, I can't stand that. I rip it up and start again. You know, because you improve, and you're supposed to improve. You're supposed to get better at what you do.
Yeah.
And you learn as you go along.
You wouldn't do that, because that's the world we're in now, where everybody takes 40 photographs before they settle on the proper one, and everything's a selfie and it's all groomed on social media.
I know,
media.
There's nothing wrong with imperfection.
No,
right.
There's not. There's not.
And there's nothing wrong with seeing where you were and where you're going to. But my thing is 100% connection, because I think people are going online for connection, and I think it's kind of going a little bit arseways, you know, even on people trying to meet on dating apps, and there are a huge amount of people sitting in the one pub or restaurant. They're all on dating apps, but they sit beside each other looking to meet someone, and yeah. Just connection. That's all it's about, is connection. And AI can't do that. We have to, that's why live music for me, or plays, or any form of art, because art is what makes us beautifully expressive as humans. Yeah. And it gives us so much back if we can open our hearts and let it in. And whatever it is that you're into, within the arts, it's to me, it's almost divine, it's spiritual, it lifts you out of your body, you know. And I think that's the only way that we can move society as humans, is to be aware of our connection to each other and move forward, I suppose, together, because the amount of divisiveness that's going on, and consciously going on,
never more so than now,
is incredible. Yeah, trying to divide and conquer. It's been done for centuries.
Well, you're going to be bringing people together and making connections on June 12th, right? Live at the Marquee?
100%, and I can't wait. And I love coming to Cork. I loved staying in Cork when I was doing my play in The Everyman. I love the Marquee. I love the audiences in Cork. And I can't wait, because all I want is everyone, and this is what I'm getting messages back from this tour, is that everybody goes home with a full heart. That you just go home floating a little bit home thinking, God, that feels like I'm just like a
floating on air after
floating
an
home
gig.
That you just feel flipping good, and you laughed and you cried and you laughed with the person sitting beside you, and you just had a gorgeous night out. That's all I want.
Bring it on. Bring it on. Everyone's looking forward to it.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Good to see you. Good to catch up.
Thanks for chatting. I love chatting with you. You're such a pro.
And the feeling is mutual.
It doesn't feel like an interview.
The sound of us clicking.
Chatting. I love it. I love chatting with you. Thanks.
Mind yourself.
For being what, thanks for doing what you do for everybody all the time.
Oh, stop. I've
been dedicated to it and we need it. Well, thank you.
That's kind to give back. Thank you.
Yeah, 100%.
Take care.